How do I follow that? Like, welcome to this is a loss at this time. Here's the thing. I've never been huge on New Year's resolutions. Such as, here's the top ones, lost weight, diet, save money, stop smoking, exercise more, new skill or hobby, read more, find a new job, more times with friends and family. These are the number one things people resolve that they're going to do in the next year because something magical happens January 1, right? Like you get energy you've never had before, a dedication that you've never bothered with before, or finally life will be easy. Why? Because January 1 happened. But here's something weird to happen over the last month or so. I ran into a scripture that I knew, but I've never seen before. And then my wife and I, we've been discussing what are some of the things we want to accomplish in 2019. And so as for me to say I'm not doing New Year's resolutions, that's kind of true, but at the same time, there's some things inside that I've never made myself accountable to anyone else. I've never kind of made public, so now I have to do it, or even really discuss it with my wife to pray through, is this something we should do? And so I'm going to share with you kind of a journey that I've been going through, and it's not necessarily about New Year's resolutions, but it is this. What's the one thing? So I'm going to talk to you about this in a second, but first I have to say this. Hey, if you're watching us online, you're missing one heck of a party going in here right now. So, but we are glad that you're watching us. We don't know if it's live or maybe afterwards, but anything I say today applies to you right now, and any kind of response that I'm asking for, the same question goes out to you now, but we're thrilled to have our online community joining us every single week. So if you came here today or if you're watching today and you were hoping for this in-depth theological breakdown of some scripture, I'm going to disappoint you. Here's what I promise you. You will not receive a more practical sermon from me for the rest of the year. There you go. Okay, I mean, eventually it was going to show. And dare I say, you're not going to receive a more practical message from me the rest of this life or this past year. This is going to be as practical as it can possibly be because I'm going to ask you one question. I'm going to give you one scripture, and then I'm going back to the one question. And when I go back to the one question, I'm probably not going to be very nice. Amen. Yeah, I think. Beat us up, Pastor. Okay, good. Like, we're all on the same page. So here is the one question. In 2019, what is the one thing you would love to have changed in your life? In 2019, so this is a universal question that all of us have different answers to. But if I were to say to you in 2019, I have a magic button that all you have to do is come press it. And the moment you press it, this thing in your life forever changes. What is that one thing that you would come press? And if you go, well, there's not a magic button. Okay, let's do this different. In 2019, if I could fast forward you through the year, and all the struggles that it would take, and all the chains that you would have to break, and all the addictions that had come off, and all the habits you would have to stop, if you could just get to the end of 2019 and you have that one thing, what would that thing be? And here's what I'm predicting. I'm predicting I could stop right now and all of you have something in mind. But in case you don't have something in mind, let's go a little deeper. What's the habit that you need to break? What is the thing in your life that you do on a regular basis that you know if you didn't do that thing, you would be better off? Or may I say it this way? What is the one habit you know you need to start? Because you know that when you've talked about it 20 times, and can I be honest with you, your friends and family, when you bring it up, they're annoyed that you still talk about it because you haven't started it, and they don't think you're going to start about it. I may start being mean now, okay? I felt like that was a pretty big dig. I apologize if it offended you. Kind of. Second thing, I have a habit of not wanting to offend people. So what is the goal that you've had in mind, but you've never written it down, so it's more of a fantasy? Like, you know you would like to get to this place, and here's I know I'd like to get abs, but I'm not going to work out. Like, that's a fantasy. And let's be honest, after I've had four kids, I'm not planning on going back. So, your wife's the one that had them. Okay, so what's the project
that you've been procrastinating on for a long period of time that you know sitting there, you know that you would accomplish, and think about this, you jump forward 1 year in time, that project is complete, how do you feel? The sense of accomplishment, the sense of excitement that it's behind me finally, or I have that skill finally, or I'm in college getting that degree finally, right? And so what is the project that you have? What is the relationship that you need to either restore or remove? In 2019, you close your eyes and you go, man, if once again, I could just be friends with mom. If I could actually have a relationship with my sister. Yes, it may be an ex, but we don't need to be that hostile. Or who's the person in your life that every time you're around them, some reason you think you're a bad friend if you leave them, but when you get with them, they're cancerous to your soul. Who's that relationship that you need to kind of remove? And then this one's always a fun one. Your money is a problem. Okay, next point. No, like, think about this. What is the debt that you have that you're when the credit card bill's coming in, you have no idea what's on it, you're nervous. Every time at the end of the month, you're wondering, how much of my mortgage will I be able to hit, or can I go 14 days, then pay it because I have this grace period? Like, at what point would you think about this, that when you open a credit card bill, just so you know, this is hitting home to me. This past year, my wife and I had a tax thing we didn't see coming, and I noticed on my credit card bill, I paid $48 in interest, and I got mad at that. You know why? That $48 is mine, and I'm having to pay someone else because I live beyond my means. What if this year I lived underneath my means just for a while, and I said no to stuff because I'm a selfish individual? Can anyone say amen? Not to me, about you, though. Okay, so unless you want to say it about me, I'm fine with that too. So what if I got to the end of this year and rather than me paying $48 to someone else, I had money in an account and they were paying me to have my money? Like, what is the thing that if you could press a button and fast forward now that you would want to have in your life? And by the way, some of these things, they're not spiritual. They're not spiritual. They're as practical as you get. But here's what I'd like to say to you. If you take care of the practical things, your spiritual life will increase. Because if the enemy can't knock you off spiritually, he will overwhelm you practically. And guess what? You won't have time for your spiritual. So these are a spiritual issue that we're talking about. So I just want, so I have one question. What is the one thing in your life in 2019 you would like to oversee? Now I have one scripture. Now when I say I have one scripture, it's gonna take me about 10 minutes to get to it. Why? Because I like something known as the backstory. How many have ever heard of a guy named Nehemiah before? Nehemiah. So if you're not a big church guy, if you don't know if you believe in Jesus or not, this is a great book for you. Why? Number one, there's no major miracles. There's not like a guy being eaten by a fish, but yet coming back 3 days later. Like, do you believe that? Well, we'll talk about that later. But it's not about Jesus. So if you have a problem with Jesus, Nehemiah is a great book for you. If you are a leader, Nehemiah is a fantastic book, and I'll tell you more why. So here's what Nehemiah is, written in 444 BC. Is under the time of Xerxes the First. Did anyone ever study about him in college? Or, okay, good. It's true. Go look it up. XE. That's how you'd start it. So Xerxes the First, and Xerxes was head over the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire is kind of the ruling empire over the world at this time. And he had this worker, and when I say worker, I mean slave, by the name of Nehemiah, who worked for him. Nehemiah was the cupbearer. Now, normally when it comes to a cupbearer, this is, you think of the person who drinks the wine to make sure it's not poisonous, so the emperor, if you would, could drink it. That is true, but it's also bigger than that. This is an official office where he oversaw different things, as well as he would have been friends with Xerxes. He actually would have had some level of relationship, and the relationship actually was to the point, one day Nehemiah came in and Xerxes noticed, he goes, man, you are downtrodden. Like, why are you so depressed? And Nehemiah goes, I've received word back home in Jerusalem that the walls, my city's in disrepair. Why? Because 100 years ago, how many have ever heard of the Babylonians? That name sound familiar? 100 years earlier, the Babylonians came in Jerusalem 3 different times and destroyed it, took some slaves, destroyed it, took some slaves, and the third time pretty much annihilated it. And you may be familiar with that part of the story. How many have ever heard of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Okay, that's this Babylonian time where they're getting carted off. So for 100 years now, this city has been no walls, no protection around it. Nehemiah hears about it and goes, I have to go home and do something about this. So he asks for some time off. Now keep in mind, he's a slave, not an employee. He couldn't take his personal days, his vacation days, and 3 sick days. It was more like, hi, I know I'm a slave, but will you let me go free? And Xerxes says, yes, but just so you know, eventually I want you back. Like, you're really good, so you got to come back home. But I'm not only going to send you home, Nehemiah. Here's what I'll do. I'll send you home with money. I'll send you home with these papers. I'll send you home with lumber. Like, I'll actually give you what you need to go accomplish the task that you want. So Nehemiah, he goes marching back home. The moment he comes up over the hill, he notices the city's worse than he ever could imagine. And it says that he began breaking down and crying. And he was so overwhelmed by this. So here's what he ended up doing. And by the way, leaders, this is why I'd say this is an amazing book. If you are a leader, one of the greatest vision casting things you'll ever see. Nehemiah walked around the city and began talking to people. And after he talked to people and got the consensus, he pulled them together. After he pulled them together, he cast this great vision to them. And he said, you are the people that can do it. Here's the project we need to do. And here's why we need to do it now. And so, by the way, if you ever cast in vision, there's your 4 steps. That's how you do it. Here's why we have to do it. You're the people. Here's the problem that we got to solve, and here's why we have to solve it now. Next thing you know, the people started rallying together, and Nehemiah had so much work to do. He needed to reestablish an economy. He needed to find up, train up, and establish some leaders. He needed to build the wall. But the thing he knew that he needed to do most important was build this wall. Why? There was no protection for the city. All around were these warlords that would, anytime they wanted something, they would just come marching in the city with a little band of warriors and take grain, take people, take cattle, take clothes, whatever it may be. They were completely defenseless. And so you have this group of people for 100 years now that have no sense of nationality, that has no vision for the future, that have really forgotten how they've got to this point. But then you have Nehemiah step up and go, we got to start rebuilding this wall. Can I hear all the men? Rawr, 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 right? Like it's a building thing. And so that's not Tim the Tool Man. I did that wrong. What's Tim the Tool Man Taylor say? Thank you. Thank you. Ho, ho, ho. Not ho, ho, ho. That's Christmas. Okay. So I apparently need to go back and rewatch that stuff. So, Is that it? Is that close enough? Okay. So, hi, online. We're just doing a social experiment, see if I can make noise up here. So Nehemiah, they start rebuilding the wall. And wouldn't you know, all of these neighboring cities weren't overly thrilled that their free pillage and plunder place is starting to come under protection. And then these other villages and all these other warlords start realizing, man, if they build up a wall, there's a chance they build up an economy. They build up an economy, they could build up a standing soldiers and kind of a military presence. They could actually be a threat to us in the future. So these outside forces begin to attack. So Nehemiah goes, hey, come down real quick. We have to reestablish. Some of you get a sword. Some of you get a spatula. You go up there, build the wall. You stay down here and fight them. So now they're the spatula in one hand, sword in another, fighting people off. They're building the wall, and actually gets to the point where they almost get the entire wall built, except they have to get the gate established now. So the bad guy, the villain, everyone say this, dun, dun, dun. The villain of our story, Sanballat, he realizes, I need to do something different. So Sanballat sends a message to Nehemiah, actually on 4 different occasions, and he tries to do something. And here's what we're going to read about. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no more breaks, there were no more openings for them to come in, even though I had yet installed the gates. So Sanballat and Geshem sent this message and said this, come and meet us at Kephron, the valley of Ono. So that's not really how you pronounce it, but let's be honest. There's a valley of Ono because they wanted to meet him in a village. And they said, hey, come out with us. And the reason we want you to come out, we need you to come away from the town, away from your protection, because we're going to kill you. They had no desire to meet with him at Starbucks to see if there was a future negotiating and trade thing, you know, embargo that they could go ahead and set up and have a relationship here at the beginning. These guys knew that if they killed Nehemiah, Nehemiah was the spearhead. He was the kingpin. He was the leader of all this. And if they could kill him, guess what? They get their power back. And Nehemiah, so here it is. So I asked you earlier, what is the one thing in your life that you know you need to do? Do you need to build a wall? Do you need to start an economy? Do you need to build up some leaders? Do you need to report back to your boss? There's all these things to do. And here's what Nehemiah said. And some of you need to make this a life verse. Some of you in 2019, as you move forward with the habits that you want to kick or start, with the goals that you want to set, with the projects that you want to get behind you, with the relationships that you need to deal with, whatever that thing is in your life, here's the line that you need to have, is what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah sent back word to them and said this, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Okay, with that resounding excitement of the line that I just gave you, I need you to maybe say it yourself. Everyone say this with me right now. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. I'm going to have you say it again with a little more excitement. I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Let's say it one more time, because now I think you're actually starting to believe it. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. You know, there's places in your life right now that you are going to be starting or have started a great work, and there's going to be shiny things over here that want to distract you. And what you should say, men, tools, let it go. You didn't need to buy it. You know, women, I love you. And so, like, oh, I'm smart enough not to give that example, right? Like, here's the thing. In our life right now, if I say I am going to start this and in 2019 I want to see this accomplished, there are going to be things that say, no, you should give us your time. You should give us your resources. You should give us your energy. And I need to be able to stand here and go, no, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. That is a small tribe back there, but I pray you increase quickly. It's like, because there's going to be times in your life where, guess what? When you start doing the thing you're supposed to do, the enemy won't want you to do it. So he'll sit over here and go, here's something better. Here's something more exciting. Here's something more important. And you need to be able to stand up and they go, no, I'm in the middle of doing a great work. I'm not coming down. And then it says this. It goes on to say this. Why should the work come to a standstill just so that I can come down and see you? No offense, Sanballat. You're not important. No offense, hobby, when it comes to my family, you're not important. No offense, additional business, the business that I've started, I'm so focused on, I won't get sidetracked with random things that I shouldn't be doing. I'm in the middle of doing a great work, and I'm not coming down. And you know, here's what, the story goes on. It's absolutely crazy because it doesn't stop there. You actually have Sanballat realize that he can't stop Nehemiah, so he starts spreading rumors about him, hoping it gets back to Xerxes. And Xerxes goes, wait, you're trying to make yourself king? You're trying to take over this region? And Nehemiah says this, I'm in the middle of doing a great work. I don't have to worry about your rumors. Do you know there's people that are going to talk behind your back? You know, they don't love us anymore. They don't party with us like they used to anymore. They don't. And you know what you can say to them? I'm in the middle of doing a great work. I can't come down right now. And then there's a friend that actually comes to Nehemiah, and he says this. He goes, hey, buddy, I just want to warn you, just between you and I, right? Because I love you enough to tell you this. There's some people in the town that aren't thrilled with what you're doing because you've messed up some exchanges and actually some high interest rates that they had going in other places, and there's a plot to kill you. And Nehemiah says this, I don't believe that you have my best interest at hand. He actually says, I don't believe you. He says, you're a liar. Do you know there's going to be some people, when you step out into the thing that you know that you need to in 2019, they're not going to catch your vision? You want to start what business? That is just crazy. You shouldn't start that. You want to change your job? Wait a second. You have retirement. You have a 401k. You have insurance. You go, I'm supposed to start in this. And they're not going to have your best interest. And would you be willing to say to that person, I love you, but you got to hear this. I am doing something great, and I can't come down. And so we have to realize that at the end of the story, Nehemiah, the end of chapter 6, you can read it for yourself. Nehemiah, it actually says that they built this entire wall in 52 days. They've been under attack. There's been rumors. There's been people trying to stop them. And all they had to use was rubble laying around, built walls around an entire city that took Nehemiah a day to walk around. They built it in 52 days. And here's what it said, that God was given the glory for what was done. There's some places in your life right now that are so big you don't know how you will overcome them, but when you overcome them in 2019, only God will get the glory. And you could say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm struggling with. Doesn't matter. Like, my Savior died, came back from the grave. He conquered everything, including death. He can overcome your thing. And so here's where I'm going to go ahead and say a couple things with the goal of trying to offend you. You know, if you're like, I'm going to leave and not come back. 6 months from now, when you realize we were right, you're welcome to come home. Okay? But I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but here's the thing. What are the things in 2019 that you need to get on your wall and not step down? And I'm going to speak to my dads, first of all. Hey, dads, do you realize you only have your kids for another 5, 10, 15, 20 years and they'll be out? Is there a chance at the end of every single night you need to be sitting on their beds, talking to them, praying for them, whatever they need to discuss, you be there? And any time that that little football game or your friends on a poker night or a guy's night out that you need to say to them, I can't come down right now because I'm doing something great. God has given me this family, and this little girl one day is going to look for a guy that I represented, and I'm going to be a guy who doesn't pull from her heart, and I'm not going to be a guy who abuses her, but I'm going to be a guy who wants to have a relationship with her first. So the next time some bad boy comes around, she'll go, you look like you got off your wall way too early. But as a dad, you're standing there going, I'm on a great wall and I'm not coming down. There's some of you that needs to stop some addictions. And I just be very honest with you right now. And some of you, you got to stop drinking. And if you go, I don't know if I drink too much. If anyone's ever said to you, wow, do you think you drink too much? You drink too much. I mean, if anyone's ever said, do you think you have a drinking problem? Do you have a drinking problem? Because I've never met someone who has one beer once a month on a girl's night out after work, and someone goes, wow, you drink a lot once a month, once a beer with one, you know, a couple of your friends. But if your life mentality is, when can I get off? When do I have to stop? How can I get out of tomorrow? You have a drinking problem, and I love you enough to say in 2019, you need to quit. You need to quit. If you're smoking, I'm not going to make this a sin issue. I'll tell you this. If you're smoking or chewing tobacco, there's nothing healthy about it. I love you enough to say, please try to quit. Wait, did I just say try? I'm sorry. In 2019, you're going to get on a wall and say, I'm doing something great. I can't come down right now. Oh, I'm stressed. I need to go have this quick relief. No. I can't come down and get that quick relief because at the end of 2009, I'm going to have a wall built around my life. And when everyone says, how is this built? It's because I didn't come down. I was in the middle of doing something great. When it comes to your finances, will you stop being selfish and spending everything about you and not setting up anything for your future generation because you're too busy paying interest versus inheriting interest? We spend more than we make because we can't say no to I. So I feel like I've become too mean. Have I become too mean? It's the end of the year, right? I'm supposed to be helping for 2019, so. But here's the reality of it is there are times. I'll tell you now, this past year, I had a financial hiccup. It put me behind. So now I've like turned the corner. I'm like, hey, you know, my son, just so you know, he got introduced to ramen noodles the other day. Now we were sick, but like he's like, we got to have these all the time. And I'm going, 10 cents, we may think about it. No. my son, this is a true story. So my car got hit the other day and it got totaled out. And truth be told, I wanted the other car because it was still running, and I loved paid for cards. If you don't, you got to figure out how great it is not spending $450 for a car that's just getting older. So, and I was in the car with my son, and can I tell this story? We need to be shifting now, but we're here. And this pretty fancy looking Camaro drove by. I'll tell you what it was. You could hear it. So. And flat black, if anyone cares or want to bless me, flat black everything. So that's not going to happen. And he goes, Dad, why don't we get that car? And what I said to him, I said, because Mom and I invest in different things. He goes, like what? You. I go, if I didn't have you four, Mom and I, like, we'd be rolling in Benz. Like this is me. And he goes, so have you found another car? And I said, well, I found out about a 2002 Ford Taurus, blah, 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 you know. And he goes, 2002? And he's old enough to do math. And he goes, what's it look like? I go, I don't know. I haven't seen it. But the car and the mileage works great, so I may be interested in it. And he goes, you don't care what it looks like. I go, I care about you. Like, you're the investment I want to give it. Now, I did fast forward and said, the moment you four are gone, Mom and I are downsizing, and then we'll be rolling what we want to, right? Like, it'll be a two-seater car. You ain't giving us your grandkids. So, like, we have to borrow your van when you want us to watch your kids. But I'm just honest with him. But when it came to our finances right now, that's what we choose to give towards. That's what we choose to invest in. So in 2019, what is the habit that you need to start or quit? What is the addiction that you need to kick? What is the goal that you need to set? What is the project that you need to get behind you? What is the relationship you need to restore or resolve? What is the thing that you feel that Jesus Christ, God, is calling to in 2009? And the moment you decide what that thing is, you write it down, and then here's what you need to say to it. I cannot come down for anything else. You know why? I am busy. I am swamped. I am surrounded by greatness. And I promise you this, by the time you get to the end of 2019, you'll look back and say, look what God has done. Amen? Amen. I told you this one would be a practical one today. You know, one practical thing we always do here at Navigation Church is we tell you about a guy for why we're here. It's a man named Jesus Christ. You probably heard of him before. If you haven't, you missed a really big holiday this past week. Because Jesus Christ, we believe, was born to a virgin, which sounds crazy. If you don't believe in God, I know that sounds crazy, but it was because God was doing something different on the earth. And so baby Jesus was born to a virgin named Mary so that he could live 33 years of a perfect life. And why was he going to be perfect? Because we needed a perfect sacrifice. Jesus, at the end of his life, gave himself up to death so that we could find eternal life. But here's the thing. A lot of people died on a Roman cross, but there was only one person that said, hey, 3 days from now, I'll see you again. And 3 days later, not because of Miracle Max and a chocolate pill, not because that was a Princess Bride for anyone who enjoyed that, not because doctors, not because they had him on ice and a defibrillator. It was because at some point, life overtakes death. And Jesus Christ was life and life abundant. And why do I say life and life abundant? Because if right now you're dealing with shame, guilt, addictions, habits that you need to destroy, shame in your life, all these things are death. And Jesus came and said, I wanted to take away those things and give you life and life abundant. And it's the easiest gift. It's the easiest gift to receive because why? It's free. And all you have to do is believe that Christ died for you. So I'm going to ask you a real simple question. Is there anyone in here today that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? To say, I want to exchange all these things of death for this place of life, all these places of guilt for the places of hope. And if that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand in the air just so I can see that you made that decision. But in order to make you feel as the most comfortable that I can, could I just ask everybody around the room to close your eyes, bow your heads, kind of separate yourself from those sitting around you so that I could ask this very simple question. Is there anyone in here today that you're ready to start 2019 not with a new set of habits, not with a new set of goals, but with a new spiritual life? And this new spiritual life starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if that is you, with every eye closed and head bowed, if you're here today and you'd like to say yes to Jesus Christ, simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision. I see all these hands over here. Wow, I see these hands. Praise God. If you're watching us online right now, there are hands going up all around this room of people saying yes to Jesus Christ, but I'm going to say this to you. I would like you to raise your hand also. I don't care if you're by yourself in your house, driving in your car, even if you're listening to me via podcast at your office right now, just slip it up a little bit, and here's why. That's going to be a natural expression of a spiritual decision. And could I ask everybody around this room just to repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Jesus, today I'm going to receive your gift of Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and become Lord of my life. And let 2019 be the beginning of the end of my old life. And may my spirit man be born again. God, I thank you for every hand that went up in this room. I thank you for every decision that was made online. And right now, God, we are going to celebrate with them, but right now we seal them to this decision. And as we move forward in this life, as we move forward with this decision, God, may we come to a full understanding of the grace and mercy that you've had in our life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.